Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast, Moon Magic, with Jeanette and David Ewing.
Hello.
It's Dave there in the background. And tonight I would like to start by reading you a protection spell. This was recently written by Deborah Blake, who is an author of numerous books. Some are fiction, but also she has a growing compendium of nonfiction books as well. And she's been writing for quite a few years now. Some of her titles are The Goddesses in the Details, Everyday Witchcraft. She's got a book, a few of these we have. The Witch's Broom, The Little Book of Cat Magic, Everyday Witch Book of Rituals, and she's got some others in the queue as well. She also has a Patreon page, and I've signed up for her page some time ago, and this came through, and I just really liked this. So this is a spell that she used during her live class earlier in September, and she used this as part of her group's fall equinox ritual just this past Sunday. And this is how it goes. God and Goddess, I call on you for protection from any dangers, man-made or natural, intentional or accidental, from within or without. East, power of air, I call on you to blow danger away and protect me from harm. South, power of fire, I call on you to guard me with a wall of flame and protect me from all harm. West, power of water, I call on you to circle me with a river of safety and protect me from all harm. North, power of earth, I call on you to ground me with the strength of stone and protect me from all harm. I am protected. I am protected. I am protected. So mote it be.
Mote it be.
I really like that.
Yeah.
And with many authors whose books we, most that we have, some that we don't, many authors will say that you can tailor it to your own needs. In this case, if you wanted to call on a specific goddess and or god of a particular pantheon, you can certainly insert that as well. And you can even tailor this to be part of a larger ritual, where you use these elemental calls to welcome and thank your directional spirits, guardians, elemental energies, however you term that for yourself. And in the middle of that, you could also insert a working to do something highly specific. So as part of that, you could include a working where you bless and consecrate particular items to carry with you for protection. They could be stones, they could be charm bags, they could be particular pieces of jewelry that you have blessed and consecrated specifically for the purpose of protecting yourself. And that's really what we're talking about. And one person who is going to be on our show next month, Byron Ballard, talks about doing this type of work as a type of medicine and a type of healing work, because to protect yourself is just as important to do the other things you do in your daily life to keep yourself in good health. Getting enough sleep, eating the right foods, not drinking too much, not smoking. If you have any medical conditions, taking your medicines faithfully, like you need to. But the psychological or spiritual part of this also includes keeping yourself from harm. And to that end, protection becomes a really important tool. One of the most simple things that you can do if you otherwise do not have any significant pressures placed on you where you might need immediate protection from a specific source might be to simply do something either at the end of every day or at the end of a work week or perhaps even at the beginning of the week to rid yourself of stresses that have built up either during the day or during the week. You don't need a lot of special things for this. Some kinds of plants and crystals and stones can be helpful, but at its most basic, one of the most simple things you can do is go take a shower or a bath. Even if you're in the shower, when you're standing in a bathroom, quietly, no radio on, no music on, the phone is not in the room with you.
So you're removing any distractions.
You're removing all of those types of distractions. You take some time and do some deep breathing while you are standing under the shower, letting the stresses of the day wash away. Likewise, taking a bath, sitting in warm, calming water, maybe with the lights dimmed if you can do it, maybe lighting a few candles in there instead of having the harsh lights that tend to be in a bathroom, and just breathe and sit quietly, removing that stress can be an important tool. Likewise, there are other things that you can do to remove stress. You can burn incense. You can use essential oils in an oil burner or a diffuser. And there are a number of essential oils that have a very calming effect and or also simply improve your mood. Lavender, lemon, which is also purifying, orange, bergamot, like orange bergamot. Those are a few that immediately come to mind, and certainly lemon, orange, and lavender can be found in many stores that sell, what would you call it, organic foods or organic products. What are some that come to mind? Or New Age stores, for that matter, or health food stores, certainly. You can find them online. There are a few companies that I typically go with that have a very good reputation of the sources of their particular essential oils. One of them is Oracacia. Another one is Mountain Rose Herbs. And there are a few others as well that are true essential oils and not perfumed oils.
Big difference.
So those are a few very simple things to start things off for yourself to start to remove those harmful sources of energy from your life. To protect yourself, if it's just general, non-specific, certainly charms work very well. You can carry charm bags. You can carry them on yourself. You can also keep them in your vehicle, especially if you've got longer commutes, where you need to be mindful of having to deal with being in a vehicle
around,
you know, in your day-to-day life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I mentioned charms and charm bags. And typically charm bags are bags, they can either be very small bags, maybe 2 to 3 inches, 2 by 3 inches, or something along those lines, or with that has a drawstring. Typically, they're made out of felt or cotton.
Sometimes leather. Yeah.
The one I have for our car is made out of leather. And for protection, it could be white or red or black. And in it, you add a particular combination of herbs and various stones. Typically, stones that are associated with the element of fire are very good for protection and defensive magic, for physical strength, for courage, for willpower. Some of these include obsidian, onyx, Apache tears, which is a form of obsidian, hematite, black tourmaline, jet, Jet can be a little harder to come by, but the others are much more common. Carnelian, also stones that are generally red in color. Such as garnet, red jasper. I mentioned carnelian, red agates, black or brown agates, and even citrine. And this is primarily because it's a stone of fire. It's also associated with the sun, which is also associated with protection. Also, tiger's eye is a stone associated with fire. Now, some of these stones do have multiple uses, and it's worth noting that if you're going to be using any stones in any type of working, whether or not you are just carrying a stone with you, whether you are creating a charm bag, it's a good idea as you are preparing these items to bless them and charge them with that particular purpose. Where you will state your intention, you hold that stone in your dominant hand, what people call the power hand, to charge it with those particular energies that you need for protection. Now, according to, and this is an old version, it's probably mostly the same, although there might be updates. Cunningham's Encyclopedia of Crystal, Gem, and Metal Magic. Other stones that are associated with protection of self also include some that one might not think would be associated, such as lapis lazuli, emerald, like raw emerald, malachite, moonstone, ruby, topaz, and turquoise. So if you have affinity for those particular stones, they can certainly be charged and used for those purposes as well. Likewise, crystal quartz can be as well, depending on the author and the source material. I've seen crystal quartz associated with fire, but I also have seen it associated with air as well, and maybe even one other element. But because of its multiple uses, energetically speaking, I also like to include crystal quartz, for me personally. So then if you're going to make a charm bag, well, how do you do that? Typically, there are odd numbers of items, 3, 5, 7, 9. Well, 9 is not a prime number, but think prime numbers. That's kind of how I conceptualize it,
mm-hmm.
Like 3, 5, and 7. And it's just me.
11, 13.
Although people usually don't go that high.
No.
I suppose you could, but yeah. So likewise, herbs and resins and spices, think kitchen, that are associated with the element of fire are also great for protection. So any kind of pepper, cloves, cinnamon, nutmeg, ginger are all protective. Likewise, so is frankincense, although I like to reiterate that you don't have to spend a lot of money and buy expensive resins and powders to do protective work. You need go no farther than your local grocery store.
Oh, yeah.
Although it's great if you can find products that have been cultivated more recently, others will do in a pinch. So some of the others that are good for protection. In many parts of the eastern half of the United States, there are these little wildflowers that grow probably 2 to 3 feet tall. The flowering heads are white and kind of taper at the top in a little cluster. It's called angelica. Angelica is used for protection. It also has a lot of other sources, but that is a protective herb. So is basil. So is bay. You know, like
bay leaves,
uh-huh. Like what you cook with. Caraway seeds. I mentioned the various peppers. Not green peppers or bell peppers. I mean
black peppers.
Peppercorns. Cinnamon. Clove. Cumin. Dill. Fennel. Juniper. Like the tree. Juniper tree.
Oh, yeah.
Marigold. Marigold flowers. Other herbs, not culinary, but common in the witch's cabinet, would include mugwort, which does have purposes for dreaming and increasing one's psychic abilities and things of that nature, but mugwort is also protective. So it's patchouli. And the mints, peppermint, rose, pine. You have pine trees growing near where you live? Go get some pine needles. Consecrate them and keep them in a little jar or a little bag out of sunlight specifically for those purposes. Thistle. Some others are valerian, vervain, violet. Like perhaps our wild violets.
Yeah.
And wormwood. That's a really long list.
A lot of things you can use for protection.
Half of them are either things that you've grown in pots or found in the woods around you or are found at your local grocery store. And when you bless things, you consecrate them, again, you're going to use your power hand, your dominant hand for this. And put them together in a little bag. If you don't want to carry a big, giant thing around your purse, around your neck, you can keep it in your purse. You can keep it on your person. So there are a number of ways you can keep those things with you without being too obtrusive. So what happens when you need to do something more intensive? There are many ways you can go about doing this. And some of this is ultimately going to depend on what you feel your particular need is, how dire you feel your situation is, whether or not it is nonspecific or specific, And one of the ways to start is with a simple white candle.
Yeah.
It's worth noting that some of the items that I listed, you can also find essential oils for. However, when you are working with any essential oil, you really need to, and you're, if you're working with an essential oil for the purpose of anointing things, including yourself, you really must dilute the oil. And per 1 teaspoon of carrier oil, which can be olive oil, it can be almond oil, like sweet almond oil, it can be avocado oil. There are stores you can get other types of things, and some of these oils you can also find in the same section. You might also find the essential oils at. There's also an oil, it's not really an oil, it's a plant wax, it's called jojoba, J-O-J-O-B-A, and it has a very long shelf life because it's a plant wax. It's not actually an oil expressed from a seed. Oh, there's also grapeseed oil. The rule of thumb is 5 to 6 drops per teaspoon of carrier oil. So 5 to 6 drops of that particular essential oil or blend of essential oils. There are a number of recipes you can find online. You can certainly add more, but I would limit it to no more than probably 5% of the total volume of oil that you're going to be working with. And that's primarily to make sure you don't irritate your skin. So you can use those to anoint yourself. You can use those to anoint tools. You can use those to dress candles. And we've talked about dressing candles before. Essentially, you are adding an oil that has some particular purpose. You are moving it across and covering the candle with your fingertips, where you're taking a few drops of that oil, putting them on the tips of your fingers, and if we're talking taper candles, you are moving from the ends to the center to gain or increase that particular energy, or to remove energy for workings where you want to remove energy, you would start at the center of that candle and then work outwards, so up and down. If it is a votive that's already in a container, you can rub the top of that candle. You consecrate your candle, you charge it by visualizing what you want accomplished with that protective spell work that you're doing. If nothing else, you can do something as simple as with that candle in your hand, visualizing your home being and yourself being protected by, let's say, a white light or a blue light or some sort of light or energy of a particular color that intuitively to you represents protection and safety. You can also, so this and that. It can be, but you don't have to. You can do an either or. So you can also write on your candles. And I recently bought something by our friends. I'm going to give them a shameful plug.
Yeah.
The name of their company is called Tempered Raven. They make knives and a variety of other things. She's for the knives. But they also started making, what do you call these? Hair sticks.
It's a, yeah, it's a hair stick.
For, you know,
long hair.
Longer hair. When I first saw it, the first thing I thought was this would make a great tool for writing on candles. It's got a slightly pointy tip. The one that I purchased is actually made out of copper, but he also had some that were stainless, that were steel and bronze, too.
Uh-huh.
Or brass. Brass, right. I guess it's brass.
Yeah.
Slightly pointy tip. I've seen things similar to this, but smaller. This is actually the size of a pin, like a writing pin.
It is.
And it's perfect for scratching out letters onto wax. Likewise, you can use an old ballpoint pen that's dried up for the same purpose. You can put your name. You can put a word. You can put a rune or a bind rune, or some other symbol that symbolizes protection to you on that candle. You can also do this with votives. So the idea of anointing a candle is something that, well, you don't have all the stuff for that. And it's difficult to try to anoint a little short, stubby votive candle. The alternative, and this is a really good alternative because you're putting more of your energy into that candle. Again, whatever symbology or name or single word or what have you want to put on it, you put it on the candle, then hold the candle in your hand, picture what you want to accomplish, put it in its container, and then say what you want to say, your intent, as you're lighting the candle. There are also, if you are a crafty type of person, and you really like the idea of doing this sort of thing, there are oil blends that you can make, and I'll talk about that in just a second, but there's also incense. And to start off simple, there are a number of companies that make nice, fine, inexpensive stick and cone incense. Some of them might be specifically for protection. Some might be single herb or resin blends like frankincense or frankincense and myrrh, lavender, dragon's blood, rosemary, copal,
yeah.
And there's a few others. And those are perfectly fine substitutes. If you want to set the tone of the space that you're working in to do your work. But there are also several books, and here is one of them, and I didn't pull out the other one. Again, our old friend Scott Cunningham, The Complete Book of Incense, Oils, and Brews. And these, again, this is a book. This version of this book was given to us in the early 90s by my sister, who had a snail mail business at the time. It was
Of Witchy Supplies.
And we must have gotten this around 96 or 97, because this is a fifth printing from 1996.
Mm-hmm.
It was initially written back in 1989. But this book also has been updated, I believe, by people in charge of his trust.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not wording it correctly.
Right.
But, yeah. So, here are six different examples of types of dry incense, and this is a type of incense where you grind up the parts fairly finely in a very fairly fine powder. You can either grind them by hand in a pestle and mortar, which does work well. It does take a little bit of elbow grease,
yep,
to do some of it. Or you can use and buy a simple coffee grinder. You can buy at any big box store for about $20 or so,
right,
or even less, and you dedicate it only to using those types of things for it. And likewise, you can also find some of these in powdered form, just as...
Because really, after you use the coffee grinder for this kind of stuff, you will not want to use it for coffee ever.
You'll never be able to. If you grind resins, you will never be able to, no matter how well you clean it. So here's a few examples of sample blends. 2 parts frankincense, 1 part dragon's blood, and that's another resin. It's a sap from a particular species of tree found in certain parts of Africa and the Middle East. And then 1/2 part wood betony. Sample incense number 2, which I've done variations of this many times. 2 parts frankincense, 1 part sandalwood, and 1/2 part rosemary. Here's a 3rd example. 1 part frankincense, 1 part myrrh, and 1/2 part clove.
Okay.
Or 2 parts frankincense, 1/2 part cumin. I would like to say, though, if you were to do a blend of frankincense, myrrh, and clove, that clove is going to produce a lot of smoke, and it's entirely possible it's going to be an eye irritant. So for some of these, you absolutely have to make sure you are doing this in a well-ventilated space. In other words, you need to have your windows cracked open. There's no getting around it. If you're going to burn this, you have to have your windows open. Or you do this part of your working outside. Or you use this dry incense to place a ring of powder around your candles. Or you use this dry incense as the blend in a charm bag that you're going to make. Or you use this in something that you are going to put in a cloth to be buried, or a little box or something to be buried in the ground. Here's the big mamma jamma protection incense. 4 parts frankincense, 3 parts myrrh, 2 parts juniper berries, 1 part rosemary, 1/2 part avens. And no, I don't know what avens is off the top of my head. Avens. And the cool thing about the Cunningham book, this one and the Encyclopedia of Herbs, is he has substitutions. But anyway.
It's in the rose family.
It's in the rose family. But I digress. 1/2 part mugwort, 1/2 part yarrow, and that's another plant people often grow in their gardens. 1/2 part St. John's wort, 1/2 part angelica, and 1/2 part basil. If one were to make a blend like this, I don't know that I would necessarily use it for burning. I might use it for other things.
Like for dressing candles or something.
You could use it for dressing candles. You could grind this up fairly fine and put a ring of it around the candles, or whatever, you know, spell space you're doing your working on. You could put it in a charm bag you could take this blend and take a big handful of it and put it in a bag or a little cardboard box or something
mm-hmm.
with something that you're going to bury. Because this is all, other than the frankincense and myrrh, the rest of these are, they're herbs. So it's, I mean, the frankincense and myrrh are resins, but still, this is completely organic. And the last one is also a short blend, and this is two parts frankincense, one part copal, and one part dragon's blood. And I've done this as well.
Yeah.
And the other ones that I'd mentioned work quite nicely because when you burn those resins and powders, it smells nice. Yes, it's going to be smoky, but it's not going to be an irritant to your eyes.
Yeah.
That's kind of a big thing. One thing I did not talk about that needs to be mentioned is shielding. Many people I know don't always shield regularly. And that is, for many people, doing protective work is what I'm going to call the first line of defense. Shielding and grounding.
Not the same thing, but work together.
They do work together. And for the majority of people I've ever talked to of different traditions and paths and different eclectic ways of doing things, it's about creating an outlet to drain off either excess energy or negative energy. And it's funny that, technically speaking, you could make the argument that negative energy and harmful energy are different things. But for the purposes of what we're talking about, negative energy is harmful energy.
Okay.
There's a whole philosophical discussion on it.
Sure.
I'm not going to get into it. So you use this method to drain excess negative energy into the earth. The earth forms a better energy sink, and I really like the way that's worded, a better energy sink than into the atmosphere because of the nature of what is below our feet. You have soil that's made up of minerals and all sorts of rocks, and that stability and those types of stones, granite and marble and basalt, and all of those are really dense and therefore good energy sinks. And again, using breathing techniques is a really good way to just focus using breathing to move that out of your body. And it's probably a good idea if you do that every day. Subconsciously, eating food is also a grounding ritual. Think about what you do every evening when you come home from work or school, or you're at the end of your day and the kids are in bed and you're taking, hopefully, a little bit of time for yourself. You focus on using breath to ground that energy out, but hopefully you're also eating sometime towards evening time. You're refilling your energy, but you're also grounding yourself. And so then where does shielding come into play? Once you've done that, before you leave your home, especially if your home is shielded, and I'll talk about home protection in just a minute, you set some sort of bubble or energy or wards
of some sort of energy around you so that harm that is projected towards you is deflected or just goes somewhere else where it can't get to you. This requires visualization and the ability to focus your mind. And sometimes having a tool like a stone or even a candle to help you focus your thoughts can be really helpful for that. You visualize light, or in one of the books that we have, the author talks about a shield made out of diamonds. So that, and we know that the diamond, the stone, is one of the strongest, hardest stones on the planet. It's also sparkly. So if you visualize some sort of egg-type shape encompassing you, where positive, helpful, warming, enlightening, uplifting energies can get through, but specific harmful energy directed towards you from whoever bounces right back. Either goes back to that person, goes back into the ether, the atmosphere, the outer environment beyond you. One author, and I don't remember who it is, the name escapes me. Many years ago, back when Witchvox was more of a thing that people used before,
where you went,
before good old FB and Instagram and everything else, they had articles that they posted pretty regularly, and this particular author talked about using a visualization of a rose bush because it's organic. And it grows up and around you, and it has thorns for protection, but then the roses are also associated with love and compassion, and that's what you're putting out. But the thorns are protecting you. An interesting way of doing shielding. You can visualize a bubble egg sphere, because remember, got to do it below as well. Ice, or stone, or fire. Something to keep harmful energies at bay as you're going about your day-to-day life. You spend some time practicing it so that maybe with the touch of a finger or you holding a stone in your hand, that's the trigger that helps you set that shield in place before you leave every day.
And then you can, and go back to grounding, you can do that any time. When you feel that you've had a lot going on, a lot of things coming at you, a lot of stress is happening, or whatever, or angry, or you're frustrated, you can take that moment to do some grounding then, too. So that's just a thing to do. It's almost, you know, like just taking that big, at the end of a stressful situation where you take that big breath, that kind of reflex, think about that, and you can also ground, too, anytime.
Yeah. And I imagine people, such as yourself, in corporate situations where you have to deal with stupid people or that jerk that you dealt with when you were out and about trying at a store or something, or just other people, and we know how the internet can be great for connecting people. But it can also be detrimental because of the anonymity of Facebook. You might be in conversation with somebody or reading something or reading an article or something that stresses you out. You take that moment to press that button, boop, close Facebook. I'm going to look at a picture of trees, and I'm just going to ground myself.
Mm-hmm.
Going out into nature also is grounding in and of itself. Really interestingly, I've seen more and more articles, like from scientific type and medical type resources, not alternative woo-woo articles. I'm talking like, you know, legit science, that have written articles more and more on how important it is for people to get out into nature to reduce stress. And yes, I do consider that a form of protective work, because anything that removes negative, harmful energy, vibrations, whatever you want to call it, from you is in itself protective. So what about stuff directed towards you? The a-hole at work, or somebody in your neighborhood, or your HOA, or an ex-spouse, or an ex-partner, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. People you've interacted in one shape or another, that now there is some acrimony of some sort. Now this is where more heavy-duty work does come in to play. And some of those protection instances can be useful. I mentioned oils. If you're able to spend even a little bit of money, yes, you can create oils with essential oils and some sort of carrier. If you don't, and you have the time, and you have herbs in your kitchen, or herbs in your backyard, or someplace where you have fresh or dried herbs available to you, you can certainly make your own. All you need are jars to put them in, and time.
Yeah.
You can do this with pretty much any dried herb, although some make the argument that fresh herbs work better, but on the other hand, fresh herbs can sometimes have the potential to have like fungus.
Oh yeah.
You know, spores, and sometimes it can make your oil rancid, but that's typically prevented by not having any headspace in the jar. So what you do is you will fill that particular jar, think a jelly jar of a particular size, with your herbs, fill them up half, three quarters of the way, add oil, probably a good three quarters of the way, add oil to the very top, screw the lid on tight, shake it up, put it in a dark place like in a pantry or in a cupboard of some sort. Check on it every week, every couple of weeks. Give it another shake. If you want it stronger, at the end of about 2 weeks, anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks, you can strain it, add more herbs, put the oil back in, and do the same thing. You can do this with any culinary herb. You can also do this with pepper, like peppercorns.
Uh-huh.
You can crack them up a little bit to release some of the oils out of it to make it a little bit easier. For that, I would use like a much smaller jar, like a smaller jelly jar or, you know, preserves or something, if you were going to use something
like
for peppercorns.
Yeah.
But you can do this with rosemary. It works really well with rosemary. You can do it with basil. You can do it with other culinary herbs. You can do this with maybe some citrus oils, but definitely any oil, any herb. Your culinary herbs, mugwort, vervain, vetiver, lavender, you name it. And so if you're using those, and let's say it was an herb that is also a culinary herb, you can certainly save some of that oil for cooking purposes.
Oh, yeah.
Keep some of that oil, put it in a separate jar or bottle, stop it up, again, keep it in a dark place, and you dedicate that to just magical workings. And, yes, tonight we are going to go over an hour, but that's all right, because it's our show.
We do it.
I do what I want. I cannot speak enough about rosemary. Rosemary is great. Rosemary is, I don't want to say all-purpose, but it's kind of all-purpose. The energy of rosemary imparts strong energetic vibrations. It is associated with protection, with love, with lust, healing, mental powers, purification, and although Cunningham uses the term exorcism, I think for many people, exorcism has a different connotation than banishing.
Yeah.
So for this purpose, I'll use the term banishing. Likewise, if you wanted to use rosemary as an all-purpose anointing oil, rosemary essential oil is pretty cheap.
Yeah.
And again, there are a number of companies out there that are pretty reputable. Besides the two I mentioned, so there's Oracacia, Mountain Rose Herbs. There's a small company, I think perfumers use this company a lot, called Eden Botanicals. There is a company called Star West Botanicals that has a pretty good reviews, pretty good reputation. And there's a few others that are out there that you can buy a half ounce or 15 milliliters of rosemary essential oil for no more than about $6. Again, dilute it the way I suggested it, and you can use it for all kinds of things. Can you use that from a culinary standpoint? I wouldn't. If you're going to use it, anything dual purpose, use the plant and not the essential oil.
Right.
So what about home protection? So what are some of the ways people can protect their homes? If you're being general, and also, do you think you need to, you can set it and forget it, like Rompo Peel? I don't think those products are even in business anymore.
No, I don't think so. The cooker where you can just set it and forget.
Do you set it one time and you're good, or do you need to refresh periodically? And I think you do, and most people I've talked to say, no, you really need to refresh it periodically. And from a really simple standpoint, you can use any of the stones I'd mentioned, but in particular, you can buy raw versions of white quartz. You can even use rose quartz. I mean, I associate it with something a little bit different, but you could. Onyx, obsidian. And you bury stones on the edges of your property. Again, you would bless them and consecrate them first. Maybe do a little ritual so that you are setting your attention that you are going to use these stones for this purpose to do this thing. You can cleanse your property, and this is a really good way to use some of those incense blends I talked about, where you use those outside and use one of those little tiny charcoal briquette things you can buy at any New Age store or probably even on
round charcoal things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you light it, you let it light its way through until it's kind of ashy and glowing,
yep.
And then you put your dry incense on it and use your hand, you know, have it in a fireproof bowl, obviously, put it on something like an oven mitt or whatever so you're not burning your hands. And they get surprisingly hot, especially with anything made out of cast iron. And there's a bunch of, well, maybe not as many as we think, different manufacturers that make these little tiny itty-bitty cauldrons that people use. And
I think Lodge is the best one to go to.
Lodge is. But there's one or two others,
that
are pretty good. And it's cast iron, so it gets hot.
Yeah.
And when I have done it outside, I use a freaking oven mitt because it gets really hot. And that little briquette will stay going for a while. And you can use those particular blends, especially when they're smoky. Do it late at night after everyone's gone to bed. And you can protect your own property. Walk around the corners of it. If you live in a townhouse, even if you have a little bit of a backyard, you can do the corners of your backyard,
yeah.
And you can also do the front part of your property. Well, what if you live in an apartment? You've got everybody around you. That's when you can use some of those dry blends to put in the corners of
your floor.
And you can also put smaller size quartz crystals in the outermost corner of the rooms of your apartment.
Yeah.
Or condo or whatever. So what if someone is directing something towards you, and you have a pretty good idea, they're trying to sabotage you at work or get you fired or do something like that? Again, the first line of defense typically is doing protective work, where you are using candles, incense, charms, what have you. But if you're going to be doing this, most people would use a white candle and you charge it and do everything the way I'd said it, you know, previously in the show, but also then have that added piece where you are being very specific, you know who's doing something to you, and you ask and petition for help to keep that person away from you. You create your boundaries. You protect your home. You protect yourself. If you've got to do this once a month, do it once a month. If you have to light one of the smaller votives or what we call the charm candles, the spell candles, once a day in the evening as part of your working, you can do that too. If you want to do a larger working, choose the night that works best for you. There are books and schools of thought on that. Some people, and many people I know, will say, well, if your need is great, then you need, that's when you need to do your protective work or any sort of magical working. But there are also days of the week associated with certain planetary influences that are supposed to be better than other days of the week. Tuesday is associated with Aries. That's good for defensive magic. And Saturn is associated with Saturday, and that's also good for defensive magic. But don't wait. If you need to do something, do it then. So how would you set up a spell to protect yourself? Well, get a space ready and available, a countertop, the top of a bookshelf, if you have some sort of dedicated space. Move everything else out of the way. Maybe start by anointing yourself. Ground yourself. Shield yourself. If we are talking about working something very highly focused in particular, take that altar space, perhaps ring it with stones. So put stones in that outer space that are good for protection. Get your candles ready. Sketch symbols, a word, your name, which can be useful. As this work is for you, or if it's not for you, put the name of the person, or put your home and all who live in it on the candle. Put your home address on there. There you go. In addition to, or instead of, to take a small piece of paper, write out your exact intention. Say who you are seeking protection from. Place that underneath the candles. When everything is set, light your candles. Petition your deities for help. And when those candles are done, take that piece of paper. Before those candles are completely finished, if you can do this, it's great. If you're not, it's not the end of the world. Take one of those candles. Take it outside, because you don't really want to burn papers inside, because it makes it too smoky, and the fire alarms will go off. A little bit of logistical planning here. Take it outside onto the balcony or your backyard or whatever. Light that paper and put it in a flame-proof bowl, like a ceramic bowl or something made out of metal or stone. Likewise, you can also use one of those terracotta pots or trays that you put under the pot. They work great.
Yeah.
Let it burn to ash. Once it's completely burned out, blow it in the air, scatter it to the four winds. Send those messages to
your deities, to your ancestors, to any of our spiritual friends out there that are there to help us with this undertaking, elemental spirits, guides, etc. Likewise, instead of blowing those to the four winds, you can take the ash with a little bit of herb of some sort, or resin, or the incense blend, or whatever. You can wrap it in paper and bury it on your property. Likewise, you can create, and as maybe as part of that working, you can also have a bowl of herbs or an incense blend or just a specific herb or two that you are using as part of your offering blend to your deities. And instead of burning that, you also bury your petition in the ground as part of your protective working for your home and your property and yourself. So those are a few things to get people started on thinking about protection. So what do we have we got going on in the next several weeks here, Dave?
Calendar. Hang on. Wait one.
Processing. Please hold.
We have a bunch of shows coming up by a variety of our regulars. I'll start off with...
we got on Sunday?
Yeah.
Nature Mystic?
Yes. Ooh, Sacred Oak Magic. This is a replay of, I don't know what show it was. Was it a Circle?
Circle Craft Studies, probably.
Okay. So this is Selena's replay show, Nature Mystic. We've got Sacred Oak Magic coming up at the end of September, the very last Sunday in September. And Selena's going to have, also on Nature Mystic, there will be a group of shows dedicated to Samhain and Samhain-type
right.
practices.
So, yeah, October. So, for Nature Mystic coming up in October, on the 6th, the celebrating Samhain and Halloween. On the 13th, Ancestor Magic. On the 20th is Divine Samhain Divinations of the Future, where she did a divination show where she had, I think this is the one where she had people call in, and she would draw a card. And do divinations
cool.
for people, yeah, for folks who called into her show at the time. And then there's a Samhain ritual on October 27th that she's going to lead from 2014. Yep.
Cool. On Circle Talk, we've got shows coming up in October. And so...
Wait, this is the wrong one. So on October 1st, we're working on getting a gal whose name is, she's Tamara. And she lives in Australia. Tamara Van Forslin. And she's known as the Witch of Oz and the Vicar of Wicca. Some nicknames that she's been given. Oh, she was given the Witch of Oz nickname by Ray Buckland, and she was given the nickname of the Vicar of Wicca by none other than the Dalai Lama. So she's been doing some stuff. She's down in Australia. So we're working on getting the logistics set up for that call to have her on Circle Talk on October 1st, which will be really that'll really be fun. Really looking forward to that.
let's see, on October 5th, we have another episode of Pagans del Mundo with Christian Ortiz. On Monday, October 7th, we have the Lunatic Mondays with Laura Gonzalez, and it's going to be in Spanish.
Lunes Lunaticos.
And our full moon show for the month of October will be October 10th. And then at the very end of October, we are going to be doing, David and I, a special Samhain evening show. We're going to talk about the Mids?
Yes.
And meanings and practices and activities associated with the last harvest and this time of the year. And we're going to do, at the very end, a short little attunement to connect with our ancestors on Samhain on the, well, okay, October 31st is also the secular Halloween. A lot of witches, pagans, actually do their Samhain work on the 31st, but there are plenty of folks that do it in the days before and after. So,
some on the actual midpoint.
On the actual midpoint, which will be early November.
Yeah.
So, it's not really a day, it's a season. And so it's a how does Selena word it?
Samhain
season, or it's part of the time release.
Yeah.
Time release. So we have a bunch of stuff coming up this month. So stay tuned. Check us out on Facebook, CSNP or Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts. You can find us if you put us up in the search for CSNP. We pop right up in there. And make sure to like us and follow our events and listen on regularly.
Yeah.
The next thing that Circle Sanctuary has coming up are there are some sanctuary days coming up in October, and then there's also the big mamma jamma of the Samhain event at Circle Sanctuary. It is their 3-day event. It is heavily attended. If you live in the Midwest and you really want to go to some sort of Samhain event, they put on really good Samhain events. It's usually pretty chilly.
Highly recommend it. Bring layers.
It could be in the 60s during the day, but in the lower 30s at night.
Yep. Think of below freezing. Especially in the little valley that Circle's at.
Yeah, because Circle Land is actually in a little valley between two ridges. It's west of Madison, and it's usually 10 degrees cooler than whatever the temperature is up near the state highway, which is weird but also interesting. And it can make it challenging for dressing appropriately. But if you really want to go, if you really want a good, special Samhain experience, I highly recommend it. Go to circlesanctuary.org. It's going to be in there on their calendar. Registration is already open. I would register now rather than later because it does fill up.
Yeah.
I think that's about all we have for tonight, Dave.
Pretty much.
And stay tuned for, again, shows coming up on Sunday and in the weeks to come from all of our various people working with us on CSNP.
Circle Sanctuary Nature Podcast. Network Podcast.
Nature. It could
network.
Be Nature Podcast,
it
but it's Network. It's network.
Okay. Anyway, good night.
Say goodnight, Dave.
Good night, Dave. I know that's sad. Huh? I got it. Here we go. One spirit
in the dark. like a candle wavers. Many spirits joined as one, burn with the power of the blazing sun. There is strength in community.
Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.